Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores. You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from TRE, Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain and around the world. For more information, please visit tre.radio.
Musical Ramblings, presented by Francis Butler.
We'll be right back. Hello, Francis Butler here. We've just listened to the original Argentinian tango at its finest, Celos, by Pedro Florindo Sassoni, violinist, composer, and leader of his own orchestra. He was of Italian descent, which shows in his music. What was it an Italian friend once told me when in the grips of a wild, passionate affair with an Argentine polo player, she said to me, "You know, the trouble with the Argentinians is that they are basically Italians who speak Spanish but think like the Germans, behave like the French, but want to be English." That would certainly explain the international appeal of the tango. The Italian who epitomized 19th century music, indeed almost monopolized it, was Giuseppe Verdi, who even managed to reclaim and reinstate Othello into Italian culture, bearing in mind that Shakespeare had borrowed it, shamelessly the Italians would say, from Italian culture, Cinzio's tale of Capitano Moro, Iago e Desdemona, described essentially as a racist warning about the dangers of miscegenation. Verdi brought him back in his magnificent opera Otello in 1887. And here is some ballet music from the opera called Bailabile, with the sound of horns, a group of Turkish slave girls dance with reluctance and ill humor because of the fact that they are slaves. Then, on hearing the strains of an Arab love song, they grow livelier and end dancing quite wildly. The Greek dancing girls then enter, followed by a group of Venetian youths, until they all break into couples and an elegant time is had by Turks, Greeks, Venetians, and all. Ballabile from Otello, the opera by Giuseppe Verdi, played by the Metropolitan Opera Orchestra, directed by James Levine, now in disgrace. And the less said about that, the better, which rather leads me onto another great operatic artist recently tarnished by historic and controversial scandal, the great tenor Placido Domingo, singing Paix m'éveilleur au paradis from Giacomo Meyerbeer's opera L'Africaine, the African woman, a fictionalized account of the love life of the Portuguese explorer Vasco da Gama. What a beautiful land, oh paradise. Vasco da Gama sings as he contemplates the wondrous island he has been washed up upon, where it turns out all Europeans are slaughtered. Except for Vasco da Gama, of course, who has caught the sympathetic eye of Celica, who sends him back to Portugal with his true love, Ines. The native islanders, Celica and Nelusco, both disappointed in unrequited love, and they end their lives by inhaling the noxious fumes of the manchineel tree blossoms. Incidentally, indigenous to the mangrove swamps of the Mexican Gulf countries rather than Africa, but there you go, never mind. Placido Domingo singing Paix m'éveilleur au paradis from Meyerbeer's opera L'Africaine. It would seem that Africa was a great source of musical inspiration in the 19th century, as indeed it still is today. But whereas today is the musical rhythms that inspire, I rather think it was the sense of colonialism, of the appropriation of the magnificent scenery, the indigenous populations, and the mining of minerals that inspired. Romance had morphed into an uncontrollable beast, sating the appetites of a bourgeois audience hungry for an ever more extravagant form of political and artistic self-expression. After his mother died, one hopes not of a surfeit of romantic culture, in 1889, Émile Saint-Saëns took a Mediterranean cruise and composed a wonderful piano fantasy called Africa. Begun in Cadiz and finished in Cairo, it features syncopation, exciting rhythms, and it has a climax based upon a folkloric Tunisian folk tune.
Thank you.
Stephen Huff and the City of Birmingham Symphony Orchestra under the baton of Sakari Aramo playing Saint-Saëns' Piano Fantasy Africa. Now, since we are in Africa, I thought we'd go straight to Ptolemaio, one of the many erstwhile pharaohs of Egypt. Ptolemaio d'Egitto, an opera written by George Frederick Handel and first performed in London in about 1728. An opera based upon revenge, lust, lost love, devotion, and final reconciliation. Not one Ptolemaio, but two Ptolemaios, Ptolemy the 10th and Ptolemy the 11th, happily end up ruling Egypt together with their mother, Cleopatra the 2nd. And this all happened 100 years before the Cleopatra we are all familiar with today. She was number 7, by the way.
Musical Ramblings, presented by Francis Butler.
Non lo dirò col labbro, a song of unspoken passion. I will not say it with my lips. I do not have the courage. Perhaps the sparks of my burning eyes reveal my passion. My glance will speak. Non lo dirò col labbro, sung by Romina Basso, the Italian mezzo-soprano, with Il Compresso Barocco, conducted by Alan Curtis. I'd call her more of a contralto than a mezzo, but there you are. Of course, you might well have recognised that aria as featuring in the 1996 film adaptation of Jane Austen's book, Emma. She did, in fact, keep a note of this aria in her own handwritten songbook. But the version sung in the movie was a version by Arthur Somerville, who wrote the lyrics some 200 years later. It was called Silent Worship, and I don't know, the lyrics were, to my mind, somewhat cheesy. Operatic precursor to Giuseppe Verdi, Gioachino Rossini no doubt found the Egyptian Ptolemy pharaohs too Greek for his taste, and chose to write an opera about Moses and Ramses II called imaginatively Moses and Pharaoh, or The Crossing of the Red Sea. And the first night in Paris proved to be a fiasco when the clumsy, clanking machinery used in the staging of the parting of the Red Sea elicited howls of derision.
decide entre Dieu, ta mère et
Ramblings, presented by Francis Butler.
Destiné from Rossini's opera Moses and the Pharaoh was followed, of course, by the Sanctus from the Miss Luba, performed by Les Troubadours du Roi Baudouin, the Belgian king of, I suppose, the 1960s. Composed by a Belgian Francisco friar, Guido Azen, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and it was performed by villagers from the Katanga province and inspired by a Bantu farewell song. I first came across it in Lindsay Anderson's film If in 1968 and was deeply impressed. Real African music and real African trumpets, only they happen to be more than 3,000 years old. Last December, I popped into the Tutankhamun exhibition in the Saatchi Galleries just off Sloane Square. And I espied the trumpets of Tutankhamun, which are the oldest in the world, one of sterling silver, the other of bronze or copper. Nobody actually has analyzed it yet. Silent for over 3,000 years, the trumpets were sounded before a live audience of an estimated 150 million listeners through an international BBC broadcast in 1939. The trumpets were played by bandsman James Tappan of Prince Albert's own 11th Royal Hussars Regiment. And during the rehearsal, the silver trumpet shattered when Tappan tried forcing his own mouthpiece into the instrument. And Alfred Lucas, a member of Carter's team who had really restored the finds, was so distressed he had to go to hospital. And King Farouk, who was present at the time, insisted that the incident should be kept from the press, fearing it might harm his reputation.
And now the two trumpets will be blown by bandsman James Tappan. I must explain that neither trumpet is easy to sound. Now the copper trumpet.
Musical Ramblings, presented by Francis Butler.
Thank you.
The triumphant march from Verdi's opera Aida, conducted by von Karajan with the Vienna Philharmonic Orchestra. Aida, the opera commissioned for the Cairo Opera House in 1871 by Ismail Pasha, Khedive and Viceroy of Egypt. Aida was an Ethiopian, or I think they would have said Abyssinian, princess, captured and enslaved by an unspecified pharaoh of ancient Egypt, and the resulting tangle of love and national loyalty. And just one last word on Tutankhamun. I really have to bring this one up. I was reminded of an anecdote I read in the Times at about the time of the Tutankhamun exhibition in London in 1972. And it would seem that an American hailed a taxi in London and asked to be taken to Tutankhamun and was mystified to be dropped unceremoniously in Tutankhamun by the taxi driver. Always amused me. Egyptienne by Jean-Philippe Rameau and played by the Icelandic pianist Víkingur Ólafsson. Today, my musical choices have led us up a very Egyptian path, and I feel bound to add that during the course of doing my research, I came, as one does, upon a very strange tourist guide that my brother must have left behind him at some point during the last 30 years. Apparently, he found it in a used bookstore in Charing Cross Road, and it's rather in the manner of the mighty Baedeker travel guides. It was entitled Queer Things, a guide for the more adventurous traveller, and it talks, as one would expect, effusively about the wonders of Egypt's great monuments, the Nile and the sprawling metropolis of Cairo. And of course, to the nuanced modern ear, much of it sounds politically incorrect and racist. But I came across an extraordinary chapter called The Sexual Mores of Modern Egypt, which ended with the following caution. Caveat lector, readers beware. The editor finds it regrettable but necessary to caution bachelor visitors visiting Egypt to avoid specific unseemly situations. Further, the editor must insist that to avoid unnecessary distress and trauma, readers of the fairer sex should turn immediately to the next chapter, Felucca's Tides and the Nile Boatmen. Caveat viator, traveller, beware. It has come to the editor's attention that certain unscrupulous Levantines will approach gentlemen travellers inside hotel vestibules or in the Casbah under the guise of offering guide services or to invite the traveller for a Turkish coffee or hookah of tobacco or perhaps an innocent-sounding request to practice his English on a native speaker. I dare not go any further, and I can leave the rest up to your imagination. On that note, I'm going to leave you with Sidney Bechet, a New Orleans saxophonist playing Egyptian Fantasy. Goodbye and until next week, and be careful to whom you speak.
Listening to a TRE production. If you've enjoyed this program, there'll be another episode waiting for you next week, right here on this platform, where you can also access our extensive back catalogue of shows and interviews. For more information on our live programming, social media channels, and apps, and how to contact Talk Radio Europe, please visit tre.radio.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.